Morning, everyone. I'm setting the stage here for both the presentation, mine and Julia Marino is the following presentation. And I'm going to talk about, a research that we've been doing in California in the last 3 years for measuring the water use of pistachio, micro-irrigated pistachio grown in the San Joaquin Valley. Before getting into the details of what we did and the result that we had, I'd like to give you some context of pistachio production in California. Those are numbers and figures taken from the California Department of Food and Agriculture report, statewide report for 2017. And you can see the pistachio production. The acreage is about 330,000 acres for a total production of about 450,000 tons, and a value generated of $1.5 billion. And in the last 15 years, the pistachio acreage in the San Joaquin Valley almost doubled, if not more, and largely expanded also on very marginal soils. And those soils are mainly saline and sodic soils. And this kind of expansion it keeps increasing over the years. What the motivation why we started this research is because there was a really little information is available to pistachio growers on evapotranspiration and crock coefficient of this pistachio grown on non-saline and saline soil with micro-irrigation. So micro-irrigation changes the whole dynamic of soil water, and so that has some kind of effect on the water use as well. So most of the area where things actually expanded in terms of pistachio acreage is what we call the Westland, so as the western side of the San Joaquin River. This is the lower end of the San Joaquin Valley. And the expansion happened at the cost of cotton. So nearly all the cotton acreage has been now replaced by pistachio, mainly because of economic reasons. So pistachio is actually more profitable than cotton, and at the same time is tolerant to drought and is also very resilient. So we have a kind of fluctuation from year to year in terms of water supply and rainfall. And so pistachio is resilient, is tolerant to salinity, but is also very tolerant to drought. And we started this research thanks to a grant that we obtained from the California Department of Food and Ag. This is a specialty crop block program. We started in 2015. We've been measuring ET and crock coefficient over the last three seasons on a number of orchards in the valley. And our objective was mainly to determine the actual ET, a well-watered pistachio grown with micro-irrigation on non-saline and saline soil. So I'll give you some results for non-saline soil. Julia will show the results for saline soil. And also want to characterize the relationship between the light interception, which is a function of the canopy size, the canopy density, and actual ET and crock coefficient, but also we committed to provide some irrigation and leaching recommendation to growers. Here is an overview of the valley. These are the study orchard. We got some the non-salt affected in this area around the city of Hanford. We got two orchards here. We got two orchards here which are salt affected, so grown on saline soil, and another non-salt affected orchard. And we have been progressively increasing the number of study orchards over the years because it's one of these projects where the more you know, the more you want to know. And all orchards are on Kerman cultivar, grafted on PG1, Pioneer Gold 1 rootstock. So those are the two non-saline study orchards. You can see we call it nickel 70% is a canopy cover or light interception is about 70%. We got an ECE of about 2.7 DC Siemens per meter. And the other one is a smaller smaller canopy size orchard and has a canopy cover about 40% and a lower ECE. We classify both of them as non-saline. There's a little bit of information here on about the different parameters of the soil and water. We used an energy balance approach because evapotranspiration is mainly driven by the amount of solar radiation that is intercepted by the crop, and so we can determine the actual evapotranspiration as a residual from the energy sources, which is the net radiation minus ground heat flux minus sensible heat flux. And so this is what the type of approach that we use. The comparison with another approach is the mass balance. So it is like a soil-water balance, which is kind of complicated for crops like pistachio because pistachio is a phreatophyte. So we don't know where the root system ends and what are the boundaries of our measurements. And at the same time, the micro-irrigation really has a very peculiar water redistribution in the soil after water is applied. So we thought that a mass balance cannot really give accurate information while we can track energy in a much probably accurate way. The activities that we conducted over the last 2 to 3 season, we measure ET with a residual of energy balance. That was a combination of eddy covariance and surface renewals equipment, and calculated the crop coefficient value. We measured the PAR light interception. This is the photosynthetic active radiation light interception by the canopy using what we call the University of California Mu light bar. It's a tractor with the arms that scan the orchard and measure the amount of incoming radiation that is intercepted by the canopy. And so somehow we related the ET and crop coefficient with the light interception. Then we monitor the plant water status with midday stem water potential and with the dendrometers. And we monitor also the soil moisture with watermarks and tensiometers. On top of that, we conducted some EM survey, electromagnetic induction survey, on the footprint area of our ET station in order to understand the relationship between the soil water texture, soil water salinity also with light interception and actual ET. Finally, we did some additional measurement in terms of canopy of vegetation, trunk diameter, the trunk diameter growth over the season, and then we measure at the end the crop yield and crop quality. Here is the some results of the light interception scan. So you can see we did it in several stages of the crop season, and somehow we defined a canopy development curve, and then we converted somehow the FBAR with respect to the time in terms of growing degree days, and you can see there's a pretty neat relationship between the FBAR and the crop coefficient. And though this graph shows the 40% canopy cover and the 70% canopy cover. So up to this point, we're pretty sure it's an energy limiting stage. It's an energy limiting process. And after that, we really don't know. After the mid stage, we really don't know whether there's a lot of crop physiological adjustment or is still during the leaf senescence is still an energy limiting process. Here is some result as a seasonal accumulated ET. In 2016, we monitor only the 70% canopy cover orchard, and we got a total ET measured of 36 inches over the season. In 2017, there was a little bit more, and we added the 40% canopy cover orchard, so it was like about 40 inches of water evapotranspired for the 70% canopy cover, and little less for the 40% canopy cover. Over the season, we had a very similar trend in terms of ET, and you can see here from the month of August, the ETs start decreasing. We think also there's a management effect on that because growers tend to start drying out the top layer of the soil, apply less water so they can harvest and they can avoid the onset also of fungal disease. So we got a pretty consistent trend over the two crop season. But one thing that we found is that the crop coefficient values that we somehow calculated are about 20 to 30% lower than what growers normally use in California for irrigation scheduling. So we think there's some over-irrigation there. And what they use came from previous research conducted during the 90s and during the early 2000, but with different methods. So it was mainly the study orchards were mainly sprinkler irrigated, but also this researcher from the University of California used a mass balance. So they track ET based on soil moisture depletion. And so, again, I think there's some little uncertainties there because you really don't know where the pistachio root system ends up. Here is the comparison. I don't want you to read all this number, but just show a comparison with RKC in the last column with respect to previous study conducted in Turkey, in Spain, and in California. As you can see, the maximum value that we got were never higher than 0.9, and other research found 1.20, 1.36, which is a little bit, we got a little bit of suspect about that because 1.36 is probably not even possible from the energetic point of view. Want to make sure that we measure well water situation. And so this is a graph of our soil moisture over the crop season 2017. And you can see most of the root zone stayed in pretty well water condition. And you can see the reduction here, it's only the top layer, the 18 inches watermark that shows reduced application, but those soils normally hold water very well, so we think there were still well water conditions. The practical implication that of our study, at least this part, is that if growers start using updated information on water use, probably this will lead to around 20% water saving during the crop season and increasing water productivity in the valley, which is very, very much needed because of environmental regulations that have been released in 2015. But there's one consideration here. The IR application efficiency of micro-irrigation results in the need of leaching. And so during the crop season, we can save about 20% of the water, but at the same time, we need to keep some water for winter leaching in order to keep a salt balance in this soil. And so this consideration suggests that the actual water saving will be lower than 20%. In terms of energy, everything is micro-irrigated now, and so every irrigation results in energy use. And so for a 20%, I did my calculation today, in for a 20% water saving, there's about 35% energy saving. That means also less greenhouse gas emission because of energy. Because, you know, with respect to sprinkler irrigated orchard, micro irrigation uses a lower pressure. And so this 20% means less water with less pressure and results in about 35% of energy saving. This is not only a project involving myself. There's a bunch of people that I have to acknowledge here. It's really a very collaborative project, and we're going to keep going with this research probably for another year. And with that, I'll stop. And if there's any question, I'll be happy to entertain them. Yeah.
Species are completely different. How are yields compared?
Well, surprisingly, for the yields of pistachio really goes up and down. There's a bearing, non-bearing behavior. But we saw the 40% as a yield per plant very high, a little bit less than the 70%. I would say probably 10 to 15% less. So in terms of water use efficiency, water productivity, the 40% is probably even more productive.